Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride as we take you to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Rami Lavi still hanging out on the other side. Fleegs coming in. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. As we're watching the end of the Knick game, 106-103. Once that ends, we will get into instant reaction on that because not a great game from the New York Knicks against a team down there, two stars in Dallas, in the Dallas Mavericks, and a game that they have shot poorly, a game in which the bench has played poorly, a game in which this coach has thrown out a bunch of different variations of this team. Defensively, there's been some letdowns. Obviously, Brunson back for his first game, so we'll get into the Knicks. Well, this is one of those hodgepodge kind of five-hour shows. We got a little bit of everything. Obviously, just heard in the updates, the starting quarterbacks, and you know, I do want to just start there because you want to try to still salvage a football season here. You still want to feel like there's a reason to watch on Sunday. And we'll get into whether or not Lamar Jackson, who didn't practice again today or yesterday now, Wednesday, if he's going to play for the Ravens and if the Jets have a chance to win the football game. But you just heard in the update from both coaches on their quarterback situation. And obviously, we've had a couple of days to talk about this. It's nice to hear the actual coach give us the information, as opposed to leaks and everything else. And he was actually pretty, I thought he handled it fairly well. He came on, he the press conference, he gives you the injuries. He even joked about why you're laughing, because he knew what the first question was. It was a much more tame Aaron Glenn, who knew what was coming, and the situation had already been leaked. We heard from, you know, players on the Jets already, so he told the team on Monday, he announced, and that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback moving forward. And it's 100% the right decision. It's 100% the right decision for a bunch of different reasons. And we just heard, like, this is not the end of Justin Fields either. Like, we just heard him mention that. Tyrod Taylor has not been able to stay healthy for how long? Forever. Like, the reason we all know Tommy DeVito's name is because Tyrod Taylor can't stay healthy. But this Jet team, whether they're better off losing or not, and you know how I feel, they're better off losing the football game. I get nothing from beating the Ravens. Nothing. Absolutely nothing from the third win of the season this late in the game. A week before Thanksgiving, the third win of the year means absolutely nothing to me. This is about the better draft pick. This is about what they've done since the trade deadline. Since they've acquired all those picks to the trade deadline, this is setting up towards the draft. And as much as I think the quarterback that gives them the best chance to lose is Justin Fields, you also have to evaluate this team. And that is without question the main reason they're doing this. Not because of Justin Fields. It shouldn't even be about the best chance to win. This is about a bunch of, this is a new wide receiver core that you just brought in. You just acquired and have now, started to develop a wide receiving core full of young, talented kids who either didn't fit in Philadelphia or didn't fit in Indianapolis. And you're trying to find out what you have as a football team. You're trying to find out who's going to fight for you. You're trying to find out who can battle when the game is close. And right now, the only way to see what an offense could actually look like in the NFL is to go to Tyrod Taylor. It is the only thing to do. It is the only thing to allow this football team to put on tape an actual offense and not have, you know, all the numbers we go through every week, whether it's the limited amount of passing yards in the first half or the just overall offense in the first half. You have to evaluate this team by actually giving them a quarterback who can throw the football and function inside an NFL offense. You have to. And then you get to the New York Giants, and somehow there is a conversation, and I still hear it. I still hear it from my Giant fan friends that he shouldn't play, that Jaxon Dart shouldn't play, that Jaxon Dart should take the rest of the season off. We know what he is. Why risk it? I still don't trust that this team, obviously, with everything else going on, right? With everything else going on. You don't trust this coaching staff now with Kafka, who has still led to the same issues, right? The game went exactly the same as it did with Brian Daboll. You have the same issues of, you know, leaks in the media, the two reports that came out, whether it was defining what happened with Carter through leaks, or the idea that the team is trying to, you know, justify how they've handled the young quarterback through the leak, the story that broke Sunday morning with Adam Schefter. Like, you've got leaks, you've got losing, you've got players taking to Twitter. You got the thing with, I don't want to get into the Cam Scataboo thing again. I'm tired of that conversation. I think it was stupid, okay? I'm sorry. If I get another person saying, I guess you can't walk out of his house. Like, walking out of his house is the same thing as shoving professional wrestlers on one foot. You people drive me nuts.
Oh, I guess he can't cross the street. I guess he can't drive a car.
No, he can't drive a car. He's got one leg. If you can't drive a car, you can't push a WWE star. It's that simple. But you have all that circling this team. But here's the thing. And I know Jaxon Dart is the saving grace of everything. And we talk so much about this coaching job. And we'll continue to take your calls on who should be the next coach of the New York Giants at 888-808-1019. And we'll get into some of the different names and everything that's gone on with this team and how he is what makes this a promising job. What makes for me, and I don't know how you feel, but I would rather have Jaxon Dart than all the first round picks in the land. Like, so for me going forward, yeah, the Giants are in a better position. As ugly as it's been, as much as I've talked about how they've morphed into being the New York Jets and one just, I think I used the term yesterday, amalgamation of disaster or whatever I used. Like, they've all kind of just become one terrible New York football scene. Because of Jaxon Dart, the New York Giants have a bright future, at least what we potentially view as a bright future. And it feels like so many people are afraid of something happening, right? Cam Scataboo's allowed to do anything, I get it, but God forbid you actually let, he's allowed to go on Raw and push guys around with a half a foot, but the quarterback can't play football. And I know he's the shining star, and I know he's what is the only thing that we're looking forward to. I get it. But we don't know about Jaxon Dart yet. I can yell about it. You can yell about it. We can make our assumptions. We can watch the game. It's been terrific. He's played extremely well. There is no doubt about it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list. At prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
But when you're a rookie, like, every single snap is so important. And it's not just the evaluation process, because we know he's the starting quarterback next year. We know that they're going to bank on it. Now, what happens next year with the new coach, to the point I've been trying to make all freaking season long since he took over, whatever happens with the coach next year, well, that will happen next year. But you can't be afraid, and you can't sit this kid. As Kafka told you, he's healthy. He plays. You still have to evaluate him. You still have to work on him with things. You still want to see him now with hopefully Isaiah Hodgins and an offensive line that probably played its best game. That probably played its best game we have seen in, I don't know how long, a decade, 12 years. I thought the offensive line was imposing their will last week against the Green Bay Packers. That running attack and the ferocity at which they were able to push the pile 9 yards on a quarterback sneak from Jameis Winston, that's as well as the offensive line has played all year and possibly all decade, and certainly probably since Tom Coughlin. So as the season goes along, you're going to have to coach him to get down, no doubt. But you're putting him in front of what is probably the best offensive line we've seen. Now you've added Hodgins, who I think, honestly, is their best wide receiver weapon they've had since Neighbors went down inside this offense, where he obviously feels comfortable. You've got a run game that was really working. Go build something. Because as much as I tell you it's about the draft pick and it's about acquiring that young quarterback, they don't have to. It's still about the draft pick. And I told you last week, I didn't mind that they lost to Green Bay, because to me, it's not about building with the team. It's not about building with this coach, because he's probably not the coach. It's not about building with the quarterback, because he's not going to be the starting quarterback. As long as Jackson Dart's not on the field, it's not about winning. It's about losing. It's about tanking. It's about getting the pick. But with Jackson Dart on the field, I do believe you can build something. You can build something. You can have this team believe in him. And I know that they already feel that way. And we've heard Illuminor talk about him as soon as he took over, pretty much. And the coach, Brian Daboll, before he was fired, talked about him being the leader of the team already as soon as he stepped foot on the field. And we all saw it, him and Scadaboo in particular, just completely changing the feel of the team. But that can't just end now with the concussion and all these weeks of not playing him. So I don't think I don't think the Giants are even considering it. I don't think anybody inside football would even suggest this, but I continue to hear the idea that because he got hurt, and here's the other thing on it. Like, I am very concerned about concussions. I don't want to belittle the injury at all. Concussions are scary. We know how it affects you long term as well as short term. Like, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind. Who cares? He had a concussion. If he is having any sort of side effects or any ramifications still, then absolutely do not play him. But it feels like he's trending towards playing. And I understand he runs a lot, but I know it's been so long since Giant fans have been able to hold on to anything. But the instant reaction to try and put this kid in bubble wrap because he had a concussion, I don't ever remember anyone, like, they had a neck injury with Daniel Jones, like, and I don't ever remember, oh my God, you can't play him. Like, it was like, as soon as he's healthy, get out there. But with Jackson Dart, it feels like there's some sort of narrative that you have to put him in bubble wrap. You have to save him from the Giants. You have to save him from himself. He's got to go play football. He's got to go be a rookie. He's got to go make rookie mistakes and get it out of his system. He's got to go build something with this team, a belief in who he is and what this offense can be. And I cannot believe the narrative that anybody would not want to see him on the field as soon as he is humanly possible, as soon as he is absolutely ready. Now, he can't be diving headfirst for the extra yard. He can't be taking on contact on the sidelines. He can't be doing things. I still think you run him. I still think you run him. That's his game. All right, you limit it a little bit, and certainly if a game gets out of reach one way or another, and we doubt it's going to be by the Giants being up by a ton, but if the game gets out of reach, if there is, you know, if there's garbage time or, like, all right, yeah. But if they're in a game against the Lions, which, let's be honest, even the Lions, they have been in a lot of these games for the most part. I expect them to keep it somewhat competitive. That's what they've been able to do. You've got to have him out there. He has not figured out anything. He is not guaranteed to be anything. Like, you need to see Jackson Dart play football. You need to build something with him. You need to go out there and trust him, trust in his ability, trust that he's getting the message that he's got to treat this game differently and treat his ability to run the football differently and allow him to go out there and continue to prove why why we think he's as special as he is. He's got to be out there for building purposes, and Tyrod Taylor's got to be out there for the same reason. The Jets need to evaluate what they have, and you can't do that with Justin Fields. And that leads into the conversation about this regime trusting Justin Fields and paying him the money and for it to take this long and all that. And we'll get to it at 888-808-1019. The Knicks have now a 3-point lead, 112-109 with 31 seconds left. A huge three from Landry Shamet as Dallas will take the ball. A game that shouldn't be this close, a game that has a lot of different things to it. And a game that hopefully the Knicks can find a way to polish off here in the last 30 seconds. And as soon as it does, Knick fans, turn right here. If you're listening, that means you've already have turned right here. So don't leave. Don't leave, because we're talking Knicks. Tell your friends. Tell your friends. Tell your buddies we're talking Knicks as soon as this game ends. We're also getting into the football conversation. And, of course, we got to talk about Brian Cashman. I was in the newsroom listening to some things and doing some things, and apparently, I don't know, did I get called out or I have to defend my Brian Cashman love? I will. You know I will. I got 5 hours tonight. I'll do anything you want.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, we're going to get to your football calls. We're going to talk a little Knicks, as it has got way too dicey here. After back-to-back huge three-pointers to give the Knicks a three-point lead with 30 seconds left, the Knicks get a stop. Landry Shamet gets fouled pretty much once they cross half court, and he missed both foul shots. Both. The New York Knicks have missed. Let me just double check it because I saw it. The New York Knicks have missed. They're shooting 55% from the free throw line. They're 18 of 33. How is that? That is just atrocious. 55%. Now, I know Mitchell Robinson again. So then they get another stop. Mitchell Robinson gets fouled. He misses both. They foul right off the rebound with 5.9 seconds left. Dallas hits both free throws. Not sure if he was trying to miss that second one or not, but he makes both. So now the Knicks have the ball, side out of bounds play at the half court line. 112-111, a 1-point lead with 5.9. So they have to inbound the ball and hopefully hit some foul shots. But even then, you know, it's still a one-possession game, assuming they hit both. So we'll ride along with that. We'll talk about the quarterback situation right now. As the Knicks are looking to inbound the ball, I can't do play-by-play, but and the Knicks call a timeout. They can't inbound the ball. This has not been a beautiful it's just yeah, no, this has not been a great end of game management here from Brown. I mean, listen, if Shamet hits either one of the two free throws, we're not having this discussion. So I get that he's got to miss it, but they foul, Hart fouls right off the last Robinson miss, right underneath the rim with 5.9 seconds left. Instead of allowing them to get the rebound, dribble up the court a little bit, try and waste 2-3 seconds And, you know, they have no timeouts. Dallas has no timeouts. So, you know, they can't call the timeout to move the ball up to half court. They've got to dribble it up the entire way. You can let a couple of seconds off the clock here and foul. Instead, he fouls as soon as the rebound is made. It takes off literally 0.1 seconds off the clock, off the Robinson of two free throw misses. And so right now the Knicks are trying to inbound the ball. They can't. They're missing free throws down the stretch. The bench has been dramatically outscored by a team that is just decimated by injuries. I mean, you know, Kyrie and Anthony Davis both out of the game, obviously, with ankle and knee injuries, respectively. Cooper Flagg missing his first game of the year. And they've allowed Najee Marshall to score 23. D'Angelo Russell, who went on a three-point tirade in the second half and 4 of 3 from three, 4 of 7 from three, has 23 points as well. And the Knicks right now have not shot the ball well. It's Jalen Brunson's first game back, 27 points. Karl Anthony Towns with 18, 1 of 6 from three-point land. Bridges, 1 of 5 from three-point land. The Knicks are able to inbound the ball to Brunson. He is fouled, 3.8 going to the foul line. All right, so let's take your calls here on the football. We'll ride along with the last 3 seconds, assuming they can hit some foul shots. The Knicks should be able to finish off this game, 888-808-1019. And then the other thing is we'll get into Mitchell Robinson, man. He has got to find a way to shoot foul shots a little bit better, because he's in a situation like this. You want him on the floor because you think Dallas is going to intentionally miss that second foul shot. You need a rebound there. But if he gets the rebound, it's an instant foul, and he can't hit a foul shot. He's 2 for 9 on the season from the foul line. And Brunson misses the first one. You've got to be kidding me. Are you serious? They've missed 6 in a row? Oh, my God. The Knicks.
We saw 5 of them. We saw the 2 Shamit, 2 Mitch,
yeah,
and now Brunson.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. My God. 6 in a row. Oh, my God. The ESPN ticker's ahead of me. We got bad news, Mike. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I'm letting ESPN. Don't do that. He makes the second one. Knicks are up by 2, 3.8 seconds. Dallas with no timeouts, inbounds the ball, drives to the basket. Offensive foul! Oh, my God! Oh, my God. Dallas gets the inbound pass, goes the length of the floor, goes to the basket, and lays it in. And is called for an offensive foul.
I don't know if I've ever seen a call exactly like that.
Is that Brandon Williams? Is that who that was? Williams? And yeah, they called an offensive foul, and the Knicks are inbounding with a 2-point lead and 0.7 seconds left. I have never seen that. He inbounds the ball, touched by Dallas. All right, they're shaking hands. Game over. Knicks win 113-111. I have never seen that. I got to watch that play again. That didn't look like, it's not like Shamit took a charge, was standing there and got run right into. That's got to be a call where he threw his arm at him or something. Yeah. Yeah, he wraps his arm around Shamit, but still. As he's driving past Shamit on his right to clear space, he kind of gives him a forearm and then wraps his arm around Shamit's waist.
And he probably didn't have to. He was already around him.
Absolutely. And I thought Shamit gave him a bump a little bit, too. That is one of the weirder offensive foul calls to end a game I have ever seen. Williams goes right to the basket and lays it in and gets called for, you know, a hooking foul, kind of, where he's wrapping his arm around Landry Shamit's waist on the final play of the game.
Knicks got lucky. Williams did not have to do that to hit that shot.
Nope, he did not. That is a bad play by Williams to try and hook it. And let's be honest, the Knicks escape with their this is the way they get their first road win of the season. They are now 1-4 on the road in what, I mean, look, this is a game. The Mavericks are now 4-12 on the season. They're without their two best players, and Cooper Flagg missed the game. Like, they're in disarray. They've already fired their general manager, who made the worst trade in possibly all of sports history. And they're fighting for their life to come out with a two-point win. They missed the last six foul shots they took. They shot 54% from the foul line, 29% from three. I mean, they got outscored by in the by the bench. Just 23 from Russell, 23 from Marshall alone is 46, 57, 64 to probably 30. They got doubled up with bench points.
Brunson's, the Mavs had 64 bench points, only 47 from their starters.
Yeah. Brunson's first game back. You want to give him a break, you know. He does score 28 points. He has 5 assists, 28 points. Shoots 2 of 7 from 3-point land, 11 of 23 from the floor. So you give Brunson a break coming back from the ankle injury, first game back. But this was kind of an ugly game. An ugly game. No, not kind of. An ugly game. We'll get into it. 888-808-1019. Knicks fans, you escape with your first road victory of the season. A win is a win. It was ugly. They didn't play well. They didn't shoot well. The end of the game, when you take into consideration the foul shots, the bad timing of the foul, the inability to close out a lousy Mavericks team right now without their three best players, the inability to shoot 54% from the foul line. That's got to be one. That's got to be the worst performance of the year from the foul line. That's terrible.
Those are bad college numbers.
No,
forget the NBA.
That, yeah, that's bad high school numbers. I'd be pissed if my high school team shot 54% from the free throw line. They got out rebound 50-49. They got out. You know, the bench outplayed them badly. This was not a great game. This is a game you just thank your lucky stars. You got the victory. You got your first road victory, and you walked the hell out of that building somehow with a win. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dominic in Mineola. What's up, Dom?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Fellow Long Islander, like you, ex-Long Islander. I heard you talk about Valley Caterers on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you know they're closed.
I did. I knew they were closing. I wasn't sure when they, if they officially closed yet, but I heard they were, which is a shame. I was at Valley Caterers all the time. It was the spot to go to if you needed just a quick lunch or something. It was Valley Caterers was a staple on Franklin Avenue and Franklin Square.
Yep. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, the New York Jets, do you think there's a chance that they could play that third string quarterback if Taylor either gets hurt or is not good? I'd like to see him.
Yeah, Brady Cook? I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, he was asked about him in the press conference, I think. Look, anything is possible. I wouldn't think so at this point. They're still announcing Justin Fields as the second stringer. I would think if Tyrod Taylor goes down, that's the only reason why it could be possible at all, is I don't trust Tyrod Taylor to stay healthy. And if they don't trust Tyrod Taylor to stay healthy and he gets injured and you go back to Fields, because I think they would go back to Fields if he gets hurt. But if he gets hurt and you go back to Fields and it's just unplayable again, I mean, maybe you give it a try, but I doubt it. I don't think he's an undrafted free agent. Like, he's not. They have nothing in on him, and they know it's not like there's nothing he can do. That's the other thing about it. They're going to draft a quarterback this year. It's not like they have their. It's not like they. They know they're going with Tyrod Taylor next year, or they're in a position where they're going to have a veteran quarterback that they don't know or don't know how long the future is, and you want to see what you can have with this kid. You're going to a young quarterback next year. You're going to a drafted quarterback next year. You don't need to find out about Brady Cook. And from what I've gathered, you know, what I can hear and see from the Jets, they're not overly all that impressed with him necessarily. So I don't think so, and I don't know why you'd care. Like, again, you're drafting a quarterback. There's nothing he could do. I heard them talking a little bit about this in the afternoon. There's nothing he could do. If he goes out there and plays fairly well, all right, maybe you view him as maybe a possible cheap backup quarterback, but you're drafting your franchise future this April. There is no doubt about it. So I don't really pay too much attention to whether or not Brady Cook's going to get a chance. The only thing I'm looking for is a Tyrod Taylor-led offense that can actually throw the football, and I can judge whether or not wide receivers get space. I can judge whether or not they can make plays. I can judge whether or not this team can actually function offensively and what these players do around a quarterback who actually throws the football. Justin Fields, on any given day, can run the football, make enough plays, be explosive enough in the run game where he could give you a win or give you a big-time performance, but it's not the kind of football that's going to... It's a style of football that's really unsustainable and not one that you're most likely going to draft and try and build around next year. You're looking for an NFL passing offense. And Tyrod Taylor isn't a great player, but he at least gives you that. Brian in Brooklyn. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Great. First of all, as a Bills and a Giants fan, there are two things that make me really happy. One is seeing the Chiefs lose like they did in the Super Bowl, and the second is just seeing the Jets and their dysfunction of quarterback and coach every other year. There's nothing like it. Nothing compares to the dysfunction of the Jets. Maybe the Browns come close. But
The Giants aren't far off, brother.
At least the Giants have a rookie quarterback in a team that has a future. The Jets have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you on the quarterback, but it's been pretty bad for a long day. I think the Jets have more wins than the Giants over the last 5-6 years. So, I mean, it's pretty bad with the Giants.
It could be. Also, I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm also a Bills fan, even though it's not Giants or Jets. But what do you think of the Bills? Who do you think wins the division in the end, the AFC East, the Bills or the Patriots?
I think the Patriots right now are playing really good football. May is playing like an MVP. That defense has been better than the Bills' defense. And, like, I still think – I hear what you're saying, just the idea that the Bills have owned that division. The Bills have a track record where the Patriots have been a bad team and Vrabel has kind of just changed things quickly. But you're looking at a team right now – with a two-game lead, right? They're 9-2. The Bills are 7-3. They are undefeated on the road at 5-0. They're undefeated in the division at 3-0, New England. They've won 8 games in a row. I would think that... I mean, look, it's not impossible that the Bills catch them. But New England right now seems to be just... And I want to fade him too. You know, as you know, someone who looks at this every week, and we'll do picks tomorrow. You know, you're trying to find your spot to fade the Patriots because, I mean, how could Vrabel come in and change this so dramatically? But he has, and right now they're the best team. I think they're better than the Broncos. So you're looking at right now they're playing the best football in all of the AFC, possibly in the entire NFL. So scary. And I can tell you this, like as a Jet fan too, that's the other thing. Like we talk about how dysfunctional the Jets are, and they are. Don't discount the Giants though. They are right there. They are the same thing. They are the same thing. Yes, I agree. Because the Giants have the quarterback, their future is brighter, and I would rather be the Giants right now than the Jets. I don't think there's any question. I don't care about all the first-round picks. I would not trade Jackson Dart for all of their first-round picks. They have 5 first-round picks in the next 2 drafts. I would not trade Jackson Dart for all 5 of them. I wouldn't trade him for all 5. So, believe me, I do think I'd much rather be the New York Giants right now than the Jets. But, like, today and what's happened over the last 10 years, despite the 1 playoff appearance and the 1 playoff win on the road, and that's significant. But outside of that, they are exactly the same. It's a new coach every couple of years. Everybody fails. There's stories that you can mock them for going dating back to the boat trip. Like, I mean, like it's just as bad. It's just as bad. The one saving grace was the playoff year in Dable's first year. That's it. But the thing for the Jets is, forget whether or not their competition with their building mates about who's more dysfunctional and who belongs at the bottom of the NFL. It was like 2 weeks that the Patriots were bad. Like, I mean, the Patriots were lousy for a year and a half. And then right back to the top of the division with a quarterback who looks to be a budding young superstar. Like, not just an average quarterback. This isn't put together by duct tape and spit and Vrabel magic. Like, he's obviously made a huge impact. He's upgraded the defense that right now is, you know, playing as well as anyone in football. Their run defense has been as good as any team in football. But they legitimately have a leader and a quarterback in May who there's no reason to think this Patriots thing is slowing down anytime soon. They have a great head coach, and they have a great young quarterback. The Patriots are right back on top. Now, they won't. The idea they'll become a dynasty again, I doubt that very much. I don't think they're going to win, you know, six Super Bowls in the next 12 years, but like, they're legitimately good, and there is no reason why that is not going to continue year in and year out. And it took a year and a half. And you want to talk about just franchises that work, franchises that know what they're doing, right? He hired Mayo. He knew it was a mistake. He knew he had Vrabel waiting. Didn't mess around. Went and got the great head coach. They sucked just long enough to be in a position to draft May. The Giants offered heaven and earth to get him. They said, no, we're good. We're going to take Drake May. Then we're going to go hire one of the better NFL head coaches. We're going to give him the same offensive coordinator that won us a handful of Super Bowls and one of the best offensive coordinators in the history of the game. And we're going to be okay. And immediately they're 9-2. While the Jets and Giants couldn't figure it out and, you know, couldn't find their way out of a paper bag with a map and a flashlight. It's crazy. It's crazy. Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey. So I want Mike McCarthy as the next Giant head coach. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be a good teacher for Jackson Dart. I think he'll bring some high-end coaches with him. Abdul Carter deserves some good coaching. And maybe he brings a good GM too. So and McCarthy is a winner, and we need to win games now. So thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, you got it. Look, I don't love Mike McCarthy. I talked about Mike McCarthy the Monday, you know, after this Monday, after Jay Glazer's report, because he was the best name on that list. And so, you know, everybody thinks I'm this Mike McCarthy guy because I put out a comment saying that, yeah, Mike McCarthy of the names is the best. And I don't love Mike McCarthy as the next head coach, but I definitely think he is as good a candidate as I've heard so far. And certainly the Jay Glazer list that he gave out in the Sunday pregame show. But you said something about Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter deserves a good head coach. Abdul Carter needs to take some personal responsibility. Before you worry about who's coaching Abdul Carter, and I understand they put him in a position to drop back and they didn't, you know, you didn't use him right, blah, blah. Like, he came out of this draft and he immediately thought he was going to be the greatest thing this team's ever seen. He's looking for Lawrence Taylor's number. He's looking for Phil Simms' number. And is that overblown a little bit? Sure. Do kids today not recognize what that means to people and the significance of these numbers? And the idea that asking for it is some sort of like real, like it was just, hey, you know, it'd be cool. So I think that's probably part of it, but still, it took balls to do it. And he's come out, and now he's missed a meeting, whether it's because he was in the red room bed or whatever the case may be. That's his responsibility to be out there. That now Monday he's at WWE making it, you know, putting himself out there. He needs to take some personal responsibility and go out there and play the game. And not do what he did last week where he played awful and he was chasing tackles and chasing sacks and neglecting his responsibility in his rush lanes, just hoping that he guessed right so he can get a sack off the board and not have that half a sack staring at him in the face every week and something that everybody can try and hit him with all week. So, yeah, he deserves better coaching. He also deserves a little bit of self-pride here and a little bit of recognizing he needs to grow up. Now, I think the term bust is being thrown around about him, and that's completely unfair. If you look at his win rate, you look at his rush rate, he's in the top half of the league of pass rushers. He is. He wins. He beats the guy in front of him more than he loses to the guy in front of him. That doesn't make a great player necessarily. It certainly doesn't make a third overall pick, but it doesn't make a bust either. He's a rookie. He's got to figure some things out. He could use some better coaching, absolutely. But Abdul Carter has got to take it upon himself to have a real year of maturation, have a real year of growing up and maturing, and showing up next year for year two with a completely different mindset, among a more humbled player and a hungry player, and someone out there looking to go dominate for this Giant team that should be in better standing. Should be in better standing. Year two of Jackson Dart, another top five pick. Scataboo and Neighbors healthy. A better defensive coordinator. You can't do worse. I think you could do worse as a head coach. I'm still going to be on that train. Let's see who they are. I still think you could do worse than Dable as a head coach. I know you don't think so. I still think you could do worse than Brian Dable as a head coach. And hopefully they don't do that. But you can't do worse as a defensive coordinator. So, yeah, they'll have a better defensive coordinator. They'll have more offensive weapons. They'll have year two of Jackson Dart. You'll have a pretty good offensive line. You'll have a top five pick to add to either the line or the weapons for the young quarterback. And you'll have a coach that you would think is going to have a track record, because this is going to be a very desirable job. Next year is a big year for the New York Giants, obviously. And it should be a big year for Abdul Carter. So, yeah, he deserves better coaching, but the fan base, the team, his teammates deserve a better version of him. The Chief in Cherry Hill. What's up, Chief?
I'm doing wonderful tonight. How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Well, terrific. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
I'll be honest with you. I love your takes. From all the people on WFAN, you're definitely from my favorite. You really have good takes, and you speak it the way it is, so I appreciate that.
Oh,
that's number one.
I appreciate that.
Number two, you just hit on it with Abdul Carter, with people throwing around the word bust.
Yeah.
I think it's totally ridiculous. Yes, are there people that we could tell right away, let's say Kayvon Thibodeau hasn't lived up to the hype? Yeah, of course, we know that. But a guy like Abdul Carter, it's totally different. Like you just mentioned, he's winning. He's winning in his, you know, you said he's in the upper half. You see him rush. He's rushing well. I think what it comes down to is really Shane Bowen. You know, you see their scheme. I think the scheme is pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Where the offensive coordinators and the head coaches of other teams, they're just picking after the Giants' weaknesses. And the Giants are just rushing with the, playing with the scheme of, hey, we have great pass rushers. Let them bull rush. Let's see if they could win against whoever they're going against. And we'll win that way. It's really hard. So I think he's not being coached in the proper way, where he's just being told, hey, just try to beat your man and try to get a sack. And that's why he's running. He's not in the proper pass lane, in the proper rush lanes. He's just going all over the field. And if he had a proper defensive coordinator, I think this guy really has a potential. Not just the Kayvon Thibodeau, who you hope is number five. Obviously, he should be better.
Correct.
But just you hope is number five. You look at this guy.
No, this is a different level.
He's the real deal.
This is and thank you for the call, Chief. This is a different level of prospect. There's no doubt. Thibodeau was a top. You know, he ended up being a top five pick. Was a premier pass rusher and was thought to be someone probably better than he's been. But Abdul Carter was, you know, the next Micah Parsons. Abdul Carter was the best defensive prospect in the last handful of years. Abdul Carter was supposed to be and was considered, you know, the quarterbacks always go, but he was the best player in the draft by many people's expectations, like the best. And he has not been that. And to me, sometimes when we talk about that, I don't disagree with you that Shane Bowen has not done many favors. I do agree with that. And for a rookie, that can be more impactful than others. And sometimes it just takes time in general. Like Dexter Lawrence, this year has been really disappointing. But the last couple of years has been one of, if not the best, interior defensive lineman in the game. And it took a couple of years. Andrew Thomas, one of the best left tackles in the game. It took a couple of years. So I get that. And I'm fully on board with Abdul Carter taking a couple years, but like at his position, typically, if you are as highly thought of as he was, typically right away you make a bigger impact than Abdul Carter has made. And I really don't care about the coach. Just typically, he should be better than this. He should have more sacks. He should be impacting the game. He should be making life more uncomfortable for quarterbacks. He just should. I think it's. You can make a case for both. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think coaching would help him a lot. I also think he himself has not played well enough. I think it's both. I think he's supposed to be so good that the coaching shouldn't impact him this much. And I don't think the coaching has done him any favors. When you're a third overall pick, when you're the best player in the draft, especially at this kind of defensive position, say like wide receiver is a position, right? Wide receiver, you could say, oh, well, you know, the quarterback's not doing him any favors. The offensive game plan's not doing him any favors. Garrett Wilson has had miserable quarterback play and miserable coaching, and he jumps off the screen as a super, as an extremely talented wide receiver. Neighbors, terrible coaching, right? Everyone, Brian Daboll sucks. Mike Kafka sucks. Offense scheme sucks. Quarterbacks are atrocious. But yet Neighbors jumped off the screen. You could recognize how great he was no matter what was happening around him. That was supposed to be Abdul Carter. Go get the quarterback. Now, they asked him to do some different things. And very much like Thibodeau, if you talk to the Giants coaching staff, they will have a far different opinion than what perception is about him, because we look at sacks and tackles and everything like that. But the Giants will tell you, hey, for the most part, maybe outside of last week, because I really do feel like against Green Bay, he kind of made a decision where I'm tired of this. I'm going to try and go get mine. And it actually made him worse. But like, if you talk to the Giants, they're going to tell you he does everything we ask him. He could drop into coverage sometimes. We're running stunts that have benefited Burns more than it's benefited him. You could look to Burns' great season and see a lot of the successes because of the help he is getting from Abdul Carter. He's not making mistakes. We're giving him a bunch of different things responsibility-wise. He's playing the run, although no one on this team plays the run overly well. But I think the Giants coaching staff would tell you, hey, he's done everything we've asked him to do, and he's a far better player than he's getting credit for. Now they can't be happy he's missing walkthroughs, and they benched him for it. For one drive, and then let him play every snap the rest of the game. But there is no doubt. There is no doubt. Coaching has impacted him, but he needs to be better. And I think that goes for a lot of players. I'm sorry. And this is why this goes back to the whole Joe Shane versus Brian Daboll conversation. I think there is a level of play that you should receive from a cornerback that you traded into the first round for. I don't think that any coach could coach a cornerback, right? Now, I know there's defensive schemes, and I understand that, but watch him play. He doesn't make plays on the ball. He's not a ball hawk at all. He makes no plays on the ball. He's consistently beat on the underthrown back shoulder throws because he doesn't turn his head around. Like, I'm sorry. Tay Banks, he has not had a great defensive coordinator with him. And Brian Daboll and this coaching staff have failed him probably on some level. But when you draft someone in the first round, the expectation should be a level of play no matter the coaching staff. All right, not quite as good. Maybe that's because of the coaching staff. All right, he's not our number one corner. He's our number two corner. Okay, I can live with that. Being unplayable and having practice squad guys play in his stead while he's healthy, I'm sorry, that's on the general manager making a bad pick. Same thing with Jalin Hyatt. Same thing with Jalin Hyatt. Now, was he in the coach's doghouse early on? It felt that way. Has he been impacted by poor coaching or lack of belief from a coaching staff? Maybe. But when you're a third round pick expected to play and you cut off routes and you are finally giving an opportunity with a brand new coaching staff, I know it's still your offensive coordinator, but it's a new head coach who is throwing you out there and giving you an opportunity to change minds and show why you should be on the field, and that's how you act. And that's what you do, and that's the effort you give on the final freaking play of the game in the end zone. That tells me all I need to know about you as a player. That's not about coaching. That's not about scheme. That's not about how to put him in a better position. That's about a kid who doesn't have that desire in him. And I hate to say that, but that's what it felt like watching him. And that's a bad draft pick. Evan Neal. There is no level of coaching. This coaching staff, right? I know they tried to turn him into guard, and I guess that didn't work. But this new offensive line coach the last 2 years has been far better than anything the Giants have had over the last eight prior. And this offensive line right now is coming together, and this offensive line right now is more than just serviceable. It's pretty good. It's not great. It's not top of the league. It's not dominant, although I thought at times it was against Green Bay. This offensive line is playing a hell of a lot better. And Evan Neal can't see the field. There's no level of offensive line coach, game planning, scheming. Like, when you're drafted top 10 as an offensive lineman, a left tackle out of Alabama, like, there should be a level of play from you no matter who your coach is. This goes back to the conversation about Daboll versus Shane. I put almost all of the blame of Evan Neal on Joe Shane. I put almost all of the blame of Tay Banks on Joe Shane. I put almost all of the blame on Hyatt on Joe Shane. Andrew Phillips, Tyler Newbin, guys who kind of hit and then depreciated. More, I'll be willing to give the argument on the coach because they came in as rookies, played well, and have gotten worse. That coaching, I can give you that. This is a yin and yang thing. I'm open to the debate. But like when you're a first-round pick at the level of Evan Neal and Tay Banks, and they traded into the first round, there's a level of play that he should be giving no matter who the hell his coach is. And Abdul Carter is another one of those. Yeah, the coach hasn't helped him, but man, oh man, he's a third overall pick and was perceived as the best damn player in the draft. He's asking for Lawrence Taylor's number, and he's not living up to it. Not a bust, but not living up to it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Nick fans, if you want to call in after the exhilarating 113-111 win over the Dallas Mavericks in a game that they played like trash, we could do that. We can get to the baseball as well as the New York Yankees and the New York Mets get ready for hopefully what is about to be a big offseason for both of them. A lot of trade rumors for the New York Mets and the Yankees. I talked about it yesterday. We can continue to talk about it today. To me, this is on Hal Steinbrenner. This is the time. And I really want to ask like the question, like we talk about this impending lockout that's coming, as we just found out yesterday that they've made a deal with every single streaming service and television partner you possibly could under the sun. The game is coming off its best postseason in forever, the most watched World Series game in 30-plus years. Money hand over fist, just signed a brand new TV deal heading into it. I know that there's questions about what's going to happen to the finances of baseball, but why should that scare Hal Steinbrenner into keeping prices down? It's about winning. It's about winning with the best offensive player in the game and one of the best right-handed hitters we've seen in the last 60 years. Your GM, who you love, who you won't get rid of, who you trust to run this operation implicitly, who you have no desire to move on from, just put you in a spot where you have to spend if you want to contend. You want to be a World Series team? You have to go spend. Will Hal Steinbrenner have the gumption to go into the $340, $350 million range where they're going to have to if they really want to be a team that can compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets and the Phillies and now the Toronto Blue Jays, who many people feel are the favorite to go get Kyle Tucker? They go get Kyle Tucker and throw him into that offense. This Blue Jays team is a real threat. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football. As we take you through these 5 hours, four more to go until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. You can listen here on The Fan, obviously on the app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. Hello to everyone in the chat. I've been busy. I haven't had a chance to say hello, but hi. Hope you're doing well. Join the chat. Have some fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.